everything else off of our mind and let's have heaven on our mind. You say, well, how could I have heaven on my mind? Well, it starts by being seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. We want to put our mind on Him, our thoughts on Him, on His Word. And we know that He's faithful to bring to us what we have need of and to supply everything that we have need of. And so we're just looking forward to all that He has for us this morning. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, this morning we're excited to have our brother Robert Marrero with us from Brooklyn, New York. And so right now there's a 3-hour time difference. So we're feeling for him because, you know, it's, if you're out here for a week, I think they say it's 2 days to adjust for every hour of time difference. So if you're out here for a week, then when it's time to go home, you just got in the time zone. So we know that it's a sacrifice. We've done it ourselves a number of times over the years, and some people adjust better than others, but we're trusting in the Lord this morning, and our brother's doing well. And this time he was able to bring his lovely wife, Sister Mary Bell, with him as well. So we're just so excited to have you with us, Sister, and you can show your appreciation. We were blessed to have his father and Brother Robert with us. I guess it was sometime last year. And now we get to meet the other half. I don't want to get myself in trouble and say it's the better half, but in my case, it's my wife. I can say it's the better half unabashedly. So our brother is... we really appreciate his ministry, and we appreciate his sincerity and humility and his desire to be a blessing through the ministering of the word. And we're thankful that the Lord has caused our paths to cross and that we've got to get to know one another on this side and to have fellowship together on this side and to encourage one another in the faith. And I'm certain that you will be blessed this morning, without a doubt. Our brother loves fellowship around the word, and he loves fellowship. And I think that, you know, any true Christian loves fellowship. You know, man was created to have fellowship, right? It started with the couple having fellowship with their father in the cool of the evening each and every day. We know that fellowship was broken, and he immediately set out to restore that fellowship. So there's just something in us that we love good fellowship, and so we're thankful for that. We're thankful that God brings us together. And there are many that we will meet on the other side that we never met here, but I'm thankful that we get to meet brothers and sisters on this side and to have fellowship together. And I believe that that'll have eternal consequences. I believe that, you know, the bonds and the memories and things that we develop on this side, I believe that it'll carry on to the other side. It's special. So we want our brother to feel comfortable this morning, and we know that you'll be blessed, as we said. Now, just to show you how much he likes to minister the word and to have fellowship, he sent us a bunch of bagels from, I shouldn't say a bunch of bagels, but he sent us some special bagels from a special place in Brooklyn and mailed it to us. And they arrived yesterday and gave us instructions on the best way to handle it. And I think the best way to handle it is to eat it. So we're enjoying that gastronomical jubilee. It was certainly unexpected. It was a surprise and a blessing, but we're looking forward to our spiritual feast now as well. Amen. But it just speaks to our dear brother how much he wants to be a blessing. You know, that's the right attitude that we ought to have, right? Our attitude ought to be not what can I get out of it, but what can I do for you? And we're blessed when we do that, when we take that approach, right? The Lord will give us our portion, but living for others, it's, Brother Brown said, when you're living your life for others, you're looking heaven right in the face, right? So we're going to give way here in just a moment and let our brother take his liberty, but I also want to remind you that there's a youth-oriented, our monthly youth-oriented service that's planned for this evening, so be sure and come for that. And once again, you know, it's open to each and every one of us, but we just, it's just a special emphasis for our young people. Amen. Counts the stars. Hallelujah. You love them? He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every breath that I take, every move that I make, every cheer that I cry. He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name. Aren't you glad this morning? Hallelujah. Don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day.
Does he know your name? Yes, he does. Yes, he does, my friend. You could go to the darkest dungeon and pray to the Lord, and God can see you. It's something that sincerity to the Lord is something so important. And if we're not that way, then we got a spiritual problem. We're living in a day that we have to watch every hour that we are living in. What we do with what we hear in church, in the tapes. A lot of people, sometimes I think they have a problem in understanding what is really the new birth. The new birth is a revelation that only comes by the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you have a lot of problem believing this message. You're going to have a lot of problem living it. You're going to have a lot of problem worshiping. You're going to have problems going to church. There will be such an obstacle in your life. And it's not that the devil created it, but humanity. Your own humanity creates that. Because we need a new birth in everything that we do. Even in what we study, what we read, how we go to church, how we praise God, how we worship Him, how we act towards when Brother Baker is preaching, or any man of God. I find myself in a situation, and sometimes I even see it sometimes in my own church. I want to be that sincere to the people. Sometimes the preaching of the gospel, you gain enemies. I gain a lot during the years with different peoples and churches, and people even that go to my church many times. They don't understand what is the fire of the Holy Ghost. I believe that this message is the truth. And I don't think that, I'm sorry to say, I don't know why I say, God doesn't have a sissified man in the pulpit. And when your message gets sissified, you have a lukewarm church. You have people then problems accepting what is the truth. You have people then that's going to have problems even glorifying God and amen that word. It's all had to do with the new birth. You're going to see what the Lord gave us tonight. And I really think I preached this a couple of weeks back in my church. And I think it was a real blessing. And I think it's going to be a blessing to you tonight. Myself, I just want to get myself out of the way. I just want His Holy Spirit to come and teach us His Word. You know why? I used to like the attitude of Brother Branham. When he went to the pulpit, when he went to the podium, he wasn't like a bunch of preachers that we have today. I'm sorry, I got to say this. Brother Branham said there's good criticism and there's bad criticism. How many heard him say that? And let me give you both. When a minister goes up to the pulpit, it should be all about God. It's not what he did. I can't do nothing. Myself, I have a sixth grade reading level. And people ask me, Brother Robert, how do you preach? When he comes in, he takes over my learning, my mind, my spirit, my mouth. Brother Bannon said himself, I am not gifted. Imagine the prophet messenger said that. He wasn't gifted. He said, but when I come to the pulpit, the gift comes down. And that gift is the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. I want to thank Brother Baker for giving me this opportunity. And in the spirit of humility, I say this. I wish I could be like him. You say, Brother Robert, why do you say that? You know, we all got different types of ministry. But every time I see Brother Baker in the live stream preaching, he has such a love. You know what? His tabernacle is named Divine Fellowship Tabernacle. And I'm sorry the names I keep on. But Brother Doug is a man full of love. And I believe you have a good pastor. Support him. Pray for him. And all of these are wonderful people. I'm glad to have my wife with me today. And my wife, my father stood home in Jersey, and he was kind of a crybaby because he couldn't come. But I cannot take him in all trips, so I don't want to get him spoiled. But I know many of the members of my congregation wanted to be here with you all. We love the fellowship. I'm just going to mention something quick here, there in the north. You know that we have a spiritual battle around message churches. And even though in New York there's many churches, no churches have fellowship with each other. It's a shame. And I tried during the years, I told Brother Baker to gather them up together for fellowship, and it's been impossible. And I wonder when the rapture comes, how many steps the Lord is going to have for the rapture, because nobody gets along. But there's only one step. It's called the way of holiness and the way of divine love. And there's going to be a lot of surprises that day if you don't receive the Holy Ghost. People are going to find out they're going to be left behind. This message changes us. It molds our character. It makes us love those that are not even lovable. And I believe that that's what the Holy Spirit does. So we want to get right to the word of the Lord. And I want to say again, thank you, Brother Baker, for giving me the opportunity. I'm not much of a preacher, even though I've been in the ministry for 30-something years old. About 35 years preaching this message. I've been pastoring my church in New York for about 20, close to 20. Been an evangelist on the rest. But that doesn't make me a great man. It makes me a small man. This is the way I see it. It should be. The Holy Spirit makes you small. It doesn't make you great. Because God will not share His glory with no man. I believe that the simplicity of the Holy Spirit is what helps us grow in our lives. So we want to get right to the word of the Lord, because I really believe the Lord has a good message for us tonight. And I want to say I'm glad to be here and see all the wonderful faces and the brother back there. And I'm happy to be here. My wife too. Sister Maribel is my wife's name. So let's get to the word of the Lord, or else I'll talk you to death. And I don't want to do that. I want to go right into the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. First of all, I want to read out of the book of Isaiah 63 and paragraph 11 and 13. And before I mention this, I want to say that God hath mans of God filled with the Holy Ghost in every generation. Moses had an important ministry, like many of the prophets had an important ministry. In every age, God gave us a portion of His word, gave us a portion of His overcoming power. But thank God, in the last days, now we have the fullness. There is no excuse for us not to serve God the right way, because the overcoming power and overcoming this world comes only by the Holy Ghost. Even like I said, even to understand this message, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, Brother Brandon said, you cannot understand it. Of course, you need to be elected for that, Brother Brandon said. You got to be elected to believe this message, or else you're going to have a struggle. But sometimes people that claim to be believers sit in message churches and they have a problem believing this message, even sitting down and the anointing of the Holy Ghost speaking through the lips of the pastors or evangelists, fivefold ministry, but they have a problem that they cannot just believe it, or they have a struggle because it bothers their humanity. When you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it controls everything. I was reading something back there before I came out, and Brother Brandon said, when you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost will take full control of everything in your life, including your own humanity also. And that's what we want. I want God to control this humanity. I want to be a vessel of honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to punctuate this word of God with an amen always. And always have the Spirit of God to accept this message the way God wants me to accept it. Not the way that many a times we want to accept it. You see, that's not the way it works, my friend. You yield, He talks, and you receive it. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now here in the scriptures, we're going to start out here. It says, then He remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is He that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of His flock? Where is He that put His Holy Spirit within Him? So where the Holy Spirit comes? To the mans of God. The mans of God are led by the Holy Ghost. Verse 12. That led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm. That's what it is, the arm of God. Dividing the waters before them to make himself an everlasting name. God always wants to be glorified. God do not tolerate man taking his glory. No man should stand in the podium or in the pulpit and act like he know more than God. You see, when I hear a man, if I'm not preaching and I'm sitting down, let it be in my congregation or whatever place I'm at, I want to see God on a man. I don't want to see his flesh. I don't want the people in my congregation, neither here, to see my flesh. I want you to see the word. Amen. I'm here to point you to him. Amen. That's what William Branham said. That's what he came for. He said, I'm here to point you to him, not to himself. Brother Branham never did that. Never, ever did Brother Branham glorify himself and act like, well, I had this meeting and I was able to do this and I prayed and this one got healed because I prayed for it. Come on, stop that nonsense. Stop that nonsense. Preachers should know a lot better. This is why we have so much confusion in the message. Paragraph 13. That led them through the deep as in a horse in the wilderness, that they shall not stumble. The word doesn't make you stumble. With this in mind, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks, God, for the opportunity, Father, that you have permitted us to be here in this tabernacle this morning, Father, to glorify your holy name. I want to ask you, Father, that you may bless the pastor of this precious congregation, Brother Douglas Baker, Father, and every member of this congregation. Father God, they have such a love of God in their hearts. And Father, may you bless the pastor here, his wife, Father, and all the trustees, deacons, musicians, Father. I told Brother Baker back there that he has such a fine group of people helping him, Lord. And I really feel that way, Lord God. Bless this church. Bless the ministry here, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we commit this service in your hand, God. Father, I get myself out of the way. I have nothing to say but what you want to give us, Lord. I depend upon you, Father. I have no ability. I have no message but yours, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, amen and amen. You may be seated, church. I'm sorry to keep you standing a long time. But when the inspiration comes, sometimes you forget. And it used to happen to Brother Branham, too. And Brother Branham sometimes used to forget that the people were standing. Praise the Lord. But it's like I said, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. We're living in a time in the last church age. And this is a glorious age. And Brother Brennan said that many of the apostles, prophets, and people of the Bible would have loved to see this age that we are living in. For we are living in the time, in the fullness of all times. You are living in a time, you have the privilege, Brother Brennan said, to see the things that many of the prophets and apostles in the scriptures, in the New and Old Testament wanted to see. I'm so grateful that God had permitted us to live in a time that when we can see the message to the last church age and the last prophet to the last church age. Ain't no more prophet after William Branham. I want you to know. I'm sorry to say, I know that a lot of people in the message, they got a lot of mentality. But I'm so glad for the Holy Ghost to reveal to us that there was only one message, one messenger, one prophet to every generation, Brother Branham said. Even in the church ages, Brother Branham told us that there was only one prophet to every generation. I am so glad. I am so grateful to God that by his Holy Spirit, that he makes us to recognize the truth of the day. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost, boy, are you going to get into a lot of confusion. You're going to try to follow man's. You're going to try to follow ideas. We wasn't called to follow ideas of man. We were called to follow the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the only thing that we should listen to. He is the only voice. And the Holy Ghost is the only voice that we should hear in this day. I don't want to listen to voices of strangers. I don't think I will not appreciate if my wife will listen to voices of man and follow and something of a man. The bride of Jesus Christ is married to the Word. And the only thing they know how to avoid is to obey is her head. Who is her head? The Christ. Glory to God. The Christ is her head. I want to listen to one voice. It's called the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will never lead you into confusion. The Holy Ghost will never make you hate a man. Hallelujah. He will never make you hate a brother because he believes something different from you. You do not know who's bride. God did not call me to judge. God did not call you to judge. So why there is so much indifference in the message of the hour? It would have been nice. I remember in the 80s, I was just a little pup boy, a little young evangelist, just a boy starting in the ministry in the late 80s. And every place that I used to go at, people were so excited to see you. We used to leave from meetings to meeting. And brother, could I just make an example? Come over here, brother, just for an example. You used to go to the meetings, and when you used to get there, oh my, everybody will hug you, and after the service, and everybody will cry, because we were going separate ways. You don't see that no more. Thank you, brother. You don't see that no more. You don't see that cry for that fellowship and for that, Brother Brandon said, how can you live without your brothers and sisters? I don't understand that one. I don't understand. I just couldn't. So, you know, in the north, it's a hard place to live. I'm sorry to say. I feel bad for my church. I really do. And sometimes a lot of people doesn't cross our door because they do not agree with what I preach for. Why am I preaching? Hardcore preaching. To keep devils out of the church. I said this to my church and I said that to a lot of people and I said that to preacher. God did not call me to pet devils around. Brother Doug Baker been called to cast them out. So when he comes here and when you come here and your pastor is preaching, and you are not agreeing because the message is cutting you and is molding your stinky character. Because sometimes we don't realize that we have a stink that we carry. And sometimes we could stink more than that animal, whatever they call it, a skunk. When you have an attitude and you bring that attitude to church, that's the smell that God sees coming out of your life. And how can God bless you when you go to church with an attitude because you want the pastor, you want to be the pastor's Holy Ghost? A lot of people during the years try to be my Holy Ghost. You say, Brother Robert, why would you say that? They want me to preach what they want to hear. During the years, if I will retain the people that cross over the doors of my church, and I tell you with honesty before the Lord, this is the house of God. I will need a couple of Yankee stadiums. But the way they come in, they go right out. Because they think because they saw a younger pastor that I was going to tolerate all the garbage of the world. This message cleans the bride. It cleans the stink of your life. It cleans your humanity. I'm sorry, I don't know why, but the other night I said, Lord, I have so many messages, what to preach, and there was an atmosphere of the Holy Ghost that was just surrounding me. That's the way I like to preach. I want to say what he wants me to say. Maybe somebody in here needs something of that message. And that's what a man of God does. He put himself in the hands of God so he could cast out devils. A man of God is called a cast out devil. He ain't being called to pet them around. You don't want Brother Douglas Baker to get up here in the pulpit and pet the devils around. And he said, Brother Robert, thank God. Woo, I'm a Christian, Brother Robert. Me, I ain't got no devil. Except last week, he said something, well, the only thing that doesn't agree with the word is the devil and spirits. And when you don't got the Holy Ghost, you're going to have a hard time accepting the message of the hour. Oh, you're going to sit down like people that I know, they used to sit on the congregation, and this was the attitude. I'm going to teach Brother Robert a lesson, not even one amen. I'm telling you something. Watch what's going on, what Brother Ben is going to say on this quote. Watch. I haven't started my message yet. Please, if you want to leave earlier before I start, you could just go ahead and do it. I don't want to gain enemies here, too. I come here to have fellowship. But let me tell you something. People expect the preachers. I say the man that's called by God. I want to say this. I don't know why I feel led to say it. I know a lot of young men. They love the Lord and they get emotional when they hear music and they hear the beat and they hear a preacher under the anointing. He said, my goodness, the Lord called me to preach. I don't mind. Somebody told me not too long ago, said, Brother Robert, you said this quote. Do you believe that God is calling men to preach? He said, of course. But he said two things. He said, if you feel led and have a call of God in your life, do it. But give me the other portion. Where the other side where he said not to do it. He said to do it and not to do it. You need the Holy Ghost. A man of God that stands here on the podium need to meet God. Need a true calling. Need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Or else you're going to do a whole mess. A lot of confusion. So when you're called by God, you will tolerate that word. And it doesn't matter the kind of taste that your tongue is getting, but what's coming out of the pulpit, your amens is to God. This message is not owned by no preacher. This message is not owned by Brother Robert. It is not owned by Brother Douglas Baker. It is owned by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Brandon said the message of the hour is the Holy Ghost in letter form. And when you resist the word of God when it's coming forth, you are resisting the Holy Ghost. Right. You are just like Paul said in the Bible. You become a bunch of stiff necks. Right. Resisting God. So how can you get the new birth? How can you get to heaven? I want this message to cleanse me. Yeah. I want this message to tell me where I'm wrong. Yeah. I want God to shave me the way I shave my hair. It might sound a little bit cute, but it's good to put honey in the rock too sometimes. And we don't like to get shaved. We don't like the word that tells us when we're wrong. If you're like I tell my church, if you're a sheep, you act like a sheep. You live like a sheep. You be corrected like a sheep. You will yield like a sheep. But if you're a goat, And Douglas Baker is preaching something you don't want to hear. Oh. Brother Brian said, what goats does? Kick the pastor. I hope there's no goats here. You may say, oh, Brother Brian, thank God I'm a sheep. Thank God I'm a sheep. Well, your nature tells who you are. Praise the Lord. Now here in the message, the testimony on sea. Look what Brother Man says here. Fill him out and get a little drink of water here. Praise the Lord. God made a man to thirst when he made his heart. Wait a minute. So who made your heart? Who made your heart? God did. Who's the owner? God. Who you should obey? God. Who you should give your heart to? God. Now you know the problem that we have? Why people have a hard time accepting the message of the hour. God made a man to thirst. When he made his heart, he made him to thirst because he made him to thirst after him. And dare anybody to try to satisfy that holy thirst with the things of the world. That was put in you to thirst after him. As a heart panted for the water brook, my soul thirsted after thee, O God, said David. Amen. You see, there's got to be a thirst. There's got to be something inside of you to want God. Right. But if you walk like God is not your God, like you don't owe God nothing, yes, you do. He doesn't owe you nothing, said Brother Branham. Right. You owe him everything. Amen. He gave you life eternal.
Amen.
You owe him everything. He owns you. Not even a nickel or a penny. You are here by the grace of God. You are here because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You are here because of Calvary. Nobody in this world ever desire to serve God. Don't tell me yes, because I'll call you a liar. So, Brother Robert, who gave you that authority to say that to us? The Word. Brother Ben said, no man has ever sought God in any moment in life. Not one man. If it was up to you, you'd be in the ballpark today. Or you'd be in some cyclone. Or you'd be in some entertainment. It shows what you have in your heart. Not too long ago, about 3 years back, somebody said that they were sick. Wasn't feeling well. I never said nothing out of my pulpit. You see, I'm sorry to say this. I like to be sincere. If I'm going to pet the devils on a church, I'd rather quit being the pastor.
Right.
I don't want God to judge me at the day of judgment. Because I have become a sissy. The person said wasn't sick. You know that New York City has a lot of entertainment. You have the Statue of Liberty. You have the Empire State Building. So the person, according to them, they wasn't feeling too well. And after the service, you know, Facebook don't lie. You lie, Facebook don't lie. Poor little thing couldn't get to the service. But, bing, something on my Facebook came up. Smiling, right next to the Empire State Building. Oh. How people like that will make the rapture?
That's right.
First of all, you're a deceiver. That's good. Facebook online. I believe, they say George Washington never said a lie. Like they say, I say, you're a liar. Now, if they say Facebook is not lying, I say, in poor, that's true. Because your own image will appear. Right. Your own lies will be showing up in Facebook.
Right.
I'm different from a lot of people. I have, during the years, a lot of health issues. Sometimes when I get into my pulpit, I have to crawl myself into the pulpit. And sometimes I'm like this and people don't realize because of the critical back problem that I have. And in my health. But church is my everything. Sometimes I'm sick and my helper is going to preach. The deacon. I cannot just stay home. I don't know. If I'm not feeling well, I'd rather go to my office. But I want to be in the house of God. Listen to this very carefully. You're going to see the reaction of Brother Branham. Before we go into anything else, Brother Branham will raise sometimes his voice and say, I'm not angry. Watch this. Sometimes when the preacher raises up, his voice, one time my brother said, Brother Robert, you sounded mad when you were preaching today. He said, like an angry preacher. The fire and brimstone message makes the devil think that you're mad, but not to the children of God. Because the Holy Ghost is all they want. Pureness is what they want. The fire of the Holy Ghost is what they want. They want that anointing so deep into their life, they cannot live without the fire of God. I cannot live without the fire of God. Every time I go to church, I get a blessing out of my own sermon. Because God is always waiting for us. Listen to this. He made him to thirst after him. And there, everybody. To try to satisfy the holy thirst with the things of the world. That was put in you to thirst after him. As a heart panted for the water broke, my soul thirsts after thee, O God. Paragraph 144. Look at the emotion. I wish you could hear the tape. The voice of Brother Branham on this portion. I'm going to illustrate it a little bit. You don't mind? Brother Manning goes like this. I don't know if it's up in the bar. It is. What he says up there. I am not angry. Then Brother Brandon, why you raise your voice that way? People take correction as angry. I take it as a blessing. I take it as a purification of the Holy Ghost. He goes, it is not that I am angry with the church. I'm in love with the church. Wait a minute. In the moment he's raising his voice, and now he's learning and saying he's in love with the church. Sometimes people think because of a preacher or a parent, children, or raise the voice at you to correct you that your parent doesn't love you. That's not true, young people. A parent cares for you. God cares for you. Many a time I heard through those tapes how the Holy Spirit took the voice of Brother Branham. And I said, and many a time I said to him, I don't even know how Brother Branham yelled that loud. I couldn't even yell that loud. My throat will not be even sufficient for that. But when the Holy Ghost take possession of a man, that man lose control of his own body. Today, now, I want to lose control of my own body. I want God to control it. I want God to take care of my body. I want God to take care of my mind. I want God to take care of my heart. I want God to take care of my soul. Praise the Lord. I'm in love with the church. And I know that something is fixing to happen, he said. And that's what I say. Get ready, people. You can't do those things. Your outward expression shows the inward work of grace hasn't been done yet. God help me. God help me that will happen to me. Amen. I'd rather stay with this message. Amen. I'd rather eat every little bit of it. And then I'll find grace with God. Right. Accepting God's word the way it is will change you. Will mold your character. It'll make you the man, the woman that God wants you to be. Not what you want to be. I never want to be what I want to be. If I listen to my body, oh my God, it will take me to hell. My own emotions will take me to hell. The other day, I mentioned that at Brother Robert's church on Friday. I was praying a couple of days back to the Lord. And sometimes, when you love the Lord, you find yourself too little. Has it happened to you? You say, Lord, I'm too little. Lord, somebody else could be maybe pastoring my church. Maybe you could get a better pastor, Lord. Father, forgive me for being a backslidden pastor. The proud heart will never say that. The proud heart will never accept the failure of humanity in your life. You want everybody to talk so good about you. You want the whole church to say, oh, look how nice you are. Oh, my, you're a great brother. You're a great brother. Oh, you're a great sister. My goodness. I have people that got mad because somebody in church told them that they were fat. I know. We had that sentimental feeling about our own body. But guess what? I look in the mirror and I see ugly. And I said, thank you, Lord, that one day I'm not going to be bald-headed no longer. I'm not going to be fat no longer. I'm going to have a perfect body. I'm going to get back all my hair that the message churches took away from me. And that's the truth, people. And that's the truth. During the year, I started my ministry very young. I suffer a lot by false accusations. False accusations. Did I do things? No. But that's how the devil used weak ones to destroy the ministry. Do you think that God wants Brother Baker to be in the Spirit of God and this church to be in the Spirit of God? Walking and marching towards Zion under the guidance of the Holy Spirit? You gotta be kidding me. The devil doesn't like that. When you leave church, he's gonna find out what driver is going to cut you short. To see if it'll get in your nerves. And you know, sometimes our nerves are not too controlled by the Holy Ghost. Brother Robert, don't preach that. Oh no, we need to preach everything. They'll get you, they'll give you rapture faith. They'll give you rapture character. You mean character for rapture too, Brother Robert? Where you got that from? The word. You cannot go in the rapture with your character and the way sometimes we act in church. Sorry. Oh, I haven't started. How time is it? I don't know what time I started, Brother Baker. We got 2 or 3 hours. Listen, brothers and sisters. Paragraph 45. No matter how much you shout it. Oh boy, and sometimes we go to the moment of the emotionalism. Brother, I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe in running around the church. I believe in jumping all around the seats. Brother Robert, you're not. No. When the Holy Ghost comes, you don't know what's going to happen. I don't want to resist it. I want to get loose. Sometimes I heard people say, I don't know if it happened to you. Before I go into the next phrase. Oh, I felt it. I shouted when Brother Baker was preaching, but I hold myself. You're a hypocrite. If the Holy Spirit wanted to use your body, cut loose. I felt like shouting and running around Brother Selena and running all the way to the front. I just wanted to behave a little bit because I don't want to get criticized. If I feel that way, I told my church many times, if I feel that way, I told my church, you're lucky I'm not just a regular member of the congregation. If I had a pastor in the pulpit and I was just a regular member, you will all be complaining to the deacon board. For all the noise making. For all the running. A dead church doesn't show nothing. When you're dead, you even your amens don't go out. Listen to this. No matter how much you shouted, how much you spoke in tongues and danced in the spirit, whatever you might call your emotions, unless that life comes with that word, oh my, and you hear that word and turn away from it, there is something wrong. There is something wrong. Look what Brother Brandon says here. Listen. The Holy Spirit. Oh, God, I love this. The Holy Spirit in you. Always punctuate the word with an amen. Amen. It is the truth. See? That's right. See, that's what I'm trying to do. Trying to cast everything I can. It's in love. Amen. Listen to this. 46. When Eliezer was sent from Abraham to find a bride for his son Isaac, a type of the father and the son and the servant and so forth, Eliezer sweated it out. Until he found character. And when he found character, he had it. Yeah. And that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to find today. Is character. Yeah. You can't have character until you got faith. And faith, produce what? Character. And when he found a beautiful Rebecca. Notice on paragraph 47. Notice. When she come to Isaac. She veiled her face. Why? She had no more head. My head is Christ. She had no more head. The man was the head. When a woman gets married, she puts a veil over her face. Why? She's coming to her head. And the church, when the Holy Spirit finds the church, she veils herself. Christ is her head. And Christ is the Word. She cares no more about the tradition and the things. Christ is her head. What is it? He goes like this. Character. Character. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. And I didn't actually tell you the subject of my message. The new birth will punctuate the word of God with an amen.
Amen.
The new birth. The new birth will make you responsive to the word. Could I say it again? The Holy Spirit in your life will make you responsive to the word. But Brother Robert, thank God the Holy Ghost anointed my pastor. He anointed Brother Douglas Baker. And boy, was he spinning around. You're a hypocrite. Why, Brother Robert? You're dwelling on the spin around of Brother Baker. Did you spin? Where was your amen? Where was your emotion? Okay, don't tell me. You bury your amens and your emotion inside your pockets. Brother Baker was so in the spirit. Brother Selena, did you see Brother Baker the way he moved? Did you move?
Right.
Forget about how Brother Baker moved. Did you move?
Amen.
Your pastor was in the spirit. Did you get in the spirit? I thought the pastor was the only one that's supposed to get in the spirit, Brother Robert. No, you got it wrong. Now you know why people don't grow. If I go to church, it's not only going to be the pastor or the preacher, whatever you may call it. It's going to be me getting in the spirit. And the pastor better be careful because I'm going to be next to him. If he yell, I'm going to yell.
Right.
And number one, I don't want the spirit of the preacher. Because sometimes we go get on one another spirit. Brother Brennan said, instead of the Holy Spirit. I don't want the spirit of a preacher. I want the Holy Spirit to change me. To motivate me. To tell me you're wrong. And because I am election. Oh. Could you say that again? And because I am election. Elected. Elect. Seed, the seed that comes out on the pulpit, strikes the seed in my soul. What did Brother Banner say? It causes an explosion.
Amen.
Now you know when a sister or a brother gets into the spirit of the word. And you see the sister, oh, glory to God. And you see the brother running around. It's because they got into the spirit of the word.
Amen.
Sometimes people will sit in their seat. They say, oh, ma, you saw Sister Baker? Ma, she got in the spirit. She was, oh, getting. Why, you didn't get in the spirit. Never mind what Sister Baker is doing. Forget about what Sister Baker is doing. Why, you didn't get in the spirit. Forget about what's surrounding you. Brother Brennan said, when I come to the house of God, I come to see Christ. Forget about what's going next around you. I want the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to get it finding out what my neighbor is doing, what the deacon is doing, and what color of tithe, Brother Baker, has. Maybe you don't like his color tie. My wife sometimes tells me, your tie was ugly. You know how wives, they're your first criticizers. Brother Branham had one too. I used to tell him she didn't like the way he dressed. So brother, I don't know if you get that feeling, Brother Baker, from Sister Baker. Oh yeah. So why we go to church? Get filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Put your attention on him. And he will change you. Now listen to this very closely. In 1962, paragraph 13, we will see Jesus. And any man that don't believe every word of this Bible, the Spirit in you is wrong. The Holy Ghost wrote the Bible. Is that so? Hebrew in the first chapter says, man of all, moved by the Holy Ghost, wrote the Bible, right? So the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. Can he turn around and deny it? Or inject something in that one? It wasn't right. The real Holy Spirit in every man's life will punctuate every verse in the Bible with an amen.
Amen.
With an amen. He said the real Holy Spirit. Listen to this. The real Holy Spirit, it believes it. So when you have the Holy Ghost, what do you possess inside of your soul? A believing spirit.
Amen.
When you don't have the Holy Ghost, and every time something comes out of the pulpit, you need to scratch your head. That's what you call it's an antichrist spirit. And you could get that very easily when you don't have the Holy Ghost. And when you reject the word, you get that too. The Holy Spirit will always agree with the word. Listen to this. Let me jump down here to 1964, Perseverant. Give me a couple of minutes and I won't keep you too long. In 1964, in the message Perseverance, paragraph 97. Listen to this carefully. And faith. Oh my. Faith is a revelation, right? Revelation that comes from where? God. The Holy Ghost himself. And faith always admits the word is right.
Amen.
Amen. If your faith don't punctuate every word of God with an amen, there is something wrong with your experience. There is something wrong with your experience. Brother Robert, I'm not the kind of type of person making a lot of noise. I like to sit down in church and be quiet. Church is not a place to be quiet. What is the house of God? What is it called? The house of what? Worship.
Amen.
Worship. Thank you, Lord. I come here to praise you, Lord. Oh, Lord, please don't let me come out of this divine fellowship tabernacle without the Holy Ghost, Lord. Lord, use my pastor to speak to me, Lord.
Amen.
The house of worship.
Amen.
The house of worship. So how can you go to the house of God and hold your silence?
Right.
And hold your silence.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Then if you hold your silence, you're nothing but a dead carcass. You got an embalming fluid somewhere that the devil injected to you. When I go to the house of God, I can't preach without an amen. And sometimes I motivate my church. And when I see when they're getting a little bit quiet, I go to over to that side and I go, "What you go like that for, Brother Robert?" He said, "I want to remind them that I cannot preach without God being praised." And then I go to the other side of the church. You see on the videos, and I go, "I don't hear nothing." He said, don't make me go down there and fetch your tongues out. Sometimes pastors, it's hard for them to preach. Because sometimes you need to go like this. "Amen, pastor." You got to be fishing for their tongues. I hope Brother Douglas Baker had to do that. I hope you got enough of the Holy Spirit inside of you to punch away every word of God with an amen. When you are responsive to that word, you know what you're doing? You're telling God and the holy angels whose side you're in. You're telling the devil. You're telling hell whose side are you in. You're telling the devil, you no longer have me. He has me. He has me. I've been elected. I've been called by God. I've been chosen of God. I am the very creation of God. Or do you think that you're going to go in the rapture quietly? Why? You don't want to wake up the angels in the rapture. The angels are not sleeping. Brother Brennan said, "It's Jubilee in heaven waiting for the bride to arrive." And Brother Brennan said, when the bride leaves this earth, hallelujah, I want to be one of them. I want to be one of them that make a lot of noise. Brother Brennan said, "If you don't like the noise, you're not going to get there." And supposedly, if you get there, which I don't, you'll faint, he said. Because you're going to find a lot of people making a lot of noise in there. You're going to see the Redeemer of all ages. Hallelujah. Oh my, you're going to see Sarah, Abraham, Moses, Noah. Hallelujah. You're going to see Moses. "Oh, we made it. We made it." And you're going to see Brother Brennan say, "Oh, the bride of the seventh church age, you made it." Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Brother Brennan said, "The bride of every age will be represented by their own prophets." Amen. The Lord is going to tell Brother Brennan, "This is the work. This is the work. When you humble and you listen to me and you listen to thus saith the Lord and you went back and brought it to the people. Look, this is the fruit of it." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that I listened to this message, that I listened to this calling. Amen. Hallelujah. I am the fruit of that word. Amen. Hallelujah. I am the fruit of that preaching. Hallelujah. I'm so glad, church. Listen, people. The time is at hand. The time we're living in shaky ground. We're living in the time of war. People, don't be a lukewarm church. Don't be a quiet church. Be a church in the spirit. I don't know why God gave me this message for, but I believe it was of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Make a lot of noise. But if you make a lot of noise, Make sure that lie is behind that. Make sure you got the Holy Ghost to back up your shout. And when the Holy Ghost is in your life, you got the victory. So when the trouble comes and sorrow comes, you don't have to be worried. Sorry, this wire just falling off of me. I'm bad putting mics. I have a brother in my church that does that for me. Amen. I'm very bad with mics. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
If you're a child of God, you'll listen to the cry of that word. It is the cry of the Holy Spirit. The bride of Christ responds to the cry of that word. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. I'm about to come, he said. Hallelujah. And guess what? And the bride said, Lord, you're ready to come, and I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. I don't know if the song service leader knows that song. Amen. He's ready to come, and I'm ready to go. But if he does it, I would like him to come and start singing that one. You know, brother? That's one of the Reagan ones. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, I hope and I trust tonight, as my heart is shaking here in this pulpit, on what God has given us tonight, and feeling the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and felt it led by this wonderful message of God.
Amen.
Could I ask you a question tonight? Are you all ready? Praise the Lord. Young people, are you all ready? You must be ready to go. If you're not, then here goes the altar. And if I was you, I'd run to the altar if I'm not ready. But don't miss that flight. Because if you miss that flight, you're going to do a whole lot of crying. You will not get lost, Brother Brandon said, no. But going through the tribulation period because you ain't got the Holy Ghost on time is something sad. You know what? I said to people before, a brother said to me one time, he said, Brother Robert, thank God, if I don't get the Holy Ghost, at least if I had to go through the tribulation period, at least I'm going to go make it up there. Why would you? That's something stupid to say. I'm sorry to say. I'm honest. Excuse my expression. Excuse my expression. Because sometimes I cannot control it. I can stand ignorance. I'm sorry. I call that ignorance. Why would I, Brother Baker, all my life, since I'm 14, I got the Holy Ghost since I'm 14 years old, and struggle all my life, and been directed and guided, and God spoke to me many a time, in a loud voice and told me things that happened in my life and it never failed. When I get sometimes moments in life that I'm in the lower valley. Oh, Brother Robert, you go down to the lower valley? Mm-hmm. You all do. So don't point the fingers at the preachers. The preachers should be honest. We all go through the low valleys.
Right.
Sometimes we all need to hear a man of God too. Because you're a preacher, you do not know at all. When a man stands in the pulpit and says, thank God, I know the message, I don't need to hear another preacher. I do. I do. I need to get preached on many times. If it's not by Brother Donnie's website, it's by Brother Douglas Baker's website. I need to once in a while hear another man of God.
Sure.
Don't tell me no.
Right.
If you say, oh, I don't need to, you're a liar.
Right.
I need to hear another man of God preach many a times.
Right.
Why? We don't know it all.
That's right.
We do not know it all. And sometimes, I call my church to lay hands on me. For what, Brother Robert? Because I need to sometime repent. And I need a refilling. And I need the Holy Ghost. Oh, Brother Robert, you're the pastor. How can you want the Holy Ghost and have the church? Then why are you preaching for? Did you hear what Brother Brennan says? People, you need the Holy Ghost when? Every day. Every day. Every day. When do you need to repent? Once in a lifetime? When do you need to repent? You're an easy audience to preach to. Woo! You're an easy audience to preach to. Goodness Lord, Brother Baker, you got it easy here. So when we don't need to repent? Every day. Every day. Do you sin every day? Who say yes? But could I sit on that chair with you? Because the rest said nothing. I feel God every day. Even with your mind, you do it. Come on, people. Don't let pride hide your mistakes. A man told one time, Brother Brandon, I want to make it right here now. I don't want no surprises on the other side. God needs to come into your heart every single moment of your life. And you need to open your heart. God is not going to open your heart, said Brother Branham. God is a gentleman. He ain't going to splash your heart open and come in. You need to open it. And you need to make it right with God. You need the new birth every moment of your life. If it's not, you're not going to overcome. You're not going to overcome the age. You're not going to come Laodicea. Sisters, you better stay next to that word. Don't look at the modern trends. Young people, don't look at the modern trends of this day. If you start looking at the modern trend, your hair is going to start getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. And your eyebrow. And your lipstick. God bless you, I'm done. I don't want to get kicked out of here. I love you people. Amen. You are my brothers and sisters. Amen. Press on. Press on. Stay behind your pastor. Press on. Open your hearts. Come in here and pull that word right out of your pastor. Pull it so hard that Brother Baker needs to hold from the pulpit. Even the wind of your heart's desire will push him. That's what you need to do. God bless you, saints. I'm so glad to be here tonight, today. May God bless each one of you and give you of his grace and anoint every trusty deacon, preacher, laity, young, old, sister, boy, so much with the Holy Ghost that when people pass through this area, they're going to wonder what in the world is going on with that building. That building is shaking so strong. Why? Love Divine Tabernacle has such a rally around that word that not even the demons want to get next to the building. The demons will be so afraid of you. Could the demon be afraid? Of course. Of a man and a woman that get filled with the Holy Ghost. Young people, don't tell me you cannot overcome. I went to school. And I went to school at a young age. God helped me. The Holy Spirit helped me to overcome every single obstacle. It helped me overcome Laodicea. It helped me overcome this whole entire nature of the world. Only the grace of God. Let's sing a song. Can we stand? Brother Open the eyes of my heart. Praise the Lord. My throat, my voice is a little bit going here. Got to get it moist. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you a question before the brothers start playing. How many love the Lord?
Amen.
There's anything in your lives to make it right. Don't wait till next week. You don't know if there's going to be a next week. Look at what's going on in the nation. The rumors of war. Everybody's happy Trump won. I'm happy too. But let me tell you something. I see things that is probably going to pass. Remember, when they announce peace, sudden destruction will come. So I'm happy that Mr. Trump won, but I'm happy that it makes it closer for me to go home. Hallelujah. I don't want a long journey in this earth. I want to make it home. I'm sick and tired of this world. I'm sick and tired of everything I see around. I'm sick and tired of seeing this bunch of homosexualities. My soul vexed, cry every day for the corruption that I see in this nation. I want to go to a place where I'm going to worship God and be with my family, redeemed with the blood of the Lamb. Brother, you want to start off that song? And
open the eyes.
Hallelujah. Lord,
open the eyes
of my heart.
I want to see you.
Lord,
I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.